Well, I want you to pray with me once more as we open our heart to God's word. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, you always know what we need. And I pray, Father, that you would speak into hearts and lives tonight, that you would impart to us what we need. Lord, we just open our hearts to receive that. And Lord, we're going to be doers of your word. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to speak it just as you'd have me to. And Father, that you would bring forth the harvest of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I heard about a little boy that was standing by the roadside. He was playing, and a man came by, and this particular man, he was kind of rough and gruff. He was one of those people, he was used to telling people what to do, and he was on his way to a business meeting and took a shortcut, and he got lost. So he asked this little boy, he said, "Boy, can you tell me which way it is to Dover?" And the little boy said, "No, I don't know." He said, "Well, how far is it to Brighton?" The little boy answered again, "I don't know." He said, "Is there somebody around here that can tell me how to get there, give me directions?" The little boy said, "I don't know." This just kept going on. The man kept asking questions, and the little boy kept saying, "I don't know." Finally, the man just got irritated, and he said, "Well, you don't really know much, do you?" The little boy smiled, and he said, looked up towards his house where his brothers and sisters were playing, and then he looked back at the man, and he said, "Well, I ain't the one that's lost." Yeah, you don't have to know everything, but there are some important things we need to know. All of us have times in our life when we don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. We go through things that we don't understand, times when we're just at a loss. We don't have a clue. So the title tonight is "What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do." Have you ever been there? We've all been there, amen? If you think you haven't, well, you're really clueless, but some of the rest of us can tell that you've been there anyway. I've had a lot of experience in this area, and yet I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know if that makes me, you know, you have a lot of experience, you know, I don't know if that makes me an expert or an idiot in this department, but I do know that the scripture gives us insight and gives us principles that we can live by and that we can count on. And so I want to share some things from the word of the Lord to help us to know what to do when you don't know what to do. You know, it happens to all of us. It even happened to the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes we think that spiritual leaders never go through those things. But that's just not true. That is a huge misconception. In fact, sometimes, you know, the enemy can beat you down with that and say, "You know, if you were spiritual, you would know." Well, here's an example. I'll just give you the short version of it. 2 Corinthians 4:8, the Apostle Paul writes, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Have you been perplexed? You know, that's when you're confused and you're like, "I don't know." He says, "We're perplexed, but we're not in despair." See, we all go through those things. Sometimes unexpected things happen, unexpected bills, go through things that don't seem to be fair. Sometimes maybe even go through a tragedy. I remember when my mom was 62 and seemed to be in good health, and then one night she had a brain aneurysm, and boy, there were a lot of hard questions and choices that had to be made. And it's difficult to know what to do in times like that. Times when we come to a fork in the road. You know, sometimes you don't want to make a decision, but you come to a fork in the road and you got to go one way or the other. What do you do? Should I take this job? Should I get involved in this ministry? Should I give to this need? All kinds of big choices and little ones as well that, well, down the road may make a big difference. But you know, there's times when we've just been in the same rut for a long time and we feel like it's time for a change, but what change? Lots of choices in life. And you know what? It's kind of a big deal because where we are today, for the most part, is a result, or at least in large part, is a result of our past choices. And where we're going to be 5-10 years from now, if the Lord tarries, to some degree is going to be a result of the choices we make. Sometimes we have to make hard choices where it seems like it's a lose-lose situation. You ever have one of those? It's like you don't want to go either way. Don't know what to do. When you're unsure, uncertain, confused, what do? First, you pray. Now, that's the one we all know. Everybody knows that. Everybody, oh, come on, preacher. But you know what? We need to be reminded and we need to be encouraged. That's the first thing that you do always when you need an answer. When you need to know what to do, you pray. That's where we find direction. We go to the Good Shepherd and He guides us. He says this is the way. The Bible says if we lack wisdom, we ask of God who gives to all men liberally. And He doesn't hold back. But ask in faith. And I just want to tell you, Jesus said in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. So you pray and you believe that God is going to give you direction. In fact, believe you receive it. Now, He says, you shall have them. Believe you receive and you shall have them. And I'm just telling you, when you really believe God and trust God, that answer's coming. It may not come in your time frame, and it may not come the way you think, or it may not be the answer you were looking for, but I'm telling you, God is faithful, and He does answer our prayers. You see, that's one of the reasons people stop praying is, well, you know, I asked the Lord once already. But, you know, when Jesus says, ask and you will receive, it's not a one-time event when He says ask. It literally is ask. Keep asking and you will receive. But He has all the answers. He knows the beginning and the end. And sometimes we pray and we don't get answers like we want. But I'm just telling you, first and foremost, we pray when we don't know what. We go to God with an honest, humble, open heart so that we can hear. See, He is able to speak to us through that still small voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And you pray and you say, I'm not hearing anything. I must not be one of His sheep. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't listen for an audible voice. Don't even listen for a voice in your head. It'll get you in trouble. Okay, Lord, the next thing that I hear, it has to be You. And you get some crazy thought pops in your head. It's not God. I'm just telling you that He speaks deep down inside. That still small voice in your spirit that He speaks to you. Most of us have a hard time sitting still and getting quiet long enough for the Lord to speak to us. Especially in the time that we live in where we have so much going on and 1,000 voices from 1,000 different sources coming at us all day long. In fact, a lot of people nowadays, they can't even take the quiet. If it's quiet, they turn something on. You know, they want some music playing. They want the TV going. They got to have something happening. You know, they get on the internet. But we really need to hear from God. The first thing we need to do is pray, and we need to get quiet so that it's not a one-sided conversation. I mean, if you're asking him for direction, don't you think you ought to be quiet so you can hear? I was quiet for 10 seconds, and I didn't hear nothing. But I'm telling you, he will speak. Many times, he speaks in that still small voice. We just got to get rid of all the distractions and busyness so that we can hear. We got to take the time to sit in his presence and listen. But you know, another issue in hearing the Lord's voice is that we have to be willing to hear. Has the Lord ever said anything to you that you didn't want to hear? All of us have heard some things from his word maybe we didn't want to hear at one time or another. And I'm just telling you that it makes it really hard to hear the voice of God when you don't want to hear what he's saying. And you keep saying, Lord, I need direction. And he's saying, here it is. But we don't hear because, you know, it's that selective hearing thing. Teenagers have it. You say, I need you to take out the trash. And it's like they're in the zone. They can't hear you at all. But then you just say in a normal tone of voice, I'm going to order pizza. What kind do you want? And they're all over it. All of a sudden, their hearing has totally been restored. Now, I know some of you wives are thinking, you're talking about my husband. Yeah, I've heard husbands have that condition as well. But you see, we get that attitude sometimes towards the Lord. We want God to speak to us, but are we really willing to hear what he's saying? But you know, when it all comes down to it, most of the time, if we're a sincere Christian and we're really praying for direction, sometimes it doesn't happen as fast as we would like. We pray and there's no answer. I mean, if he has the answers, why don't he just tell me? Now, I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul certainly prayed, and yet he had times when he was perplexed. He didn't have all the answers. So if we pray and we don't hear, we're really listening, maybe there's a purpose behind the silence or the delay. Maybe it's a matter of faith and trust on our part. Maybe we're not ready for that answer. Maybe we couldn't handle it. Or maybe we would find a way to mess it up if we knew. Have you ever had a 4-year-old ask you a question that you knew they didn't need to know? And I know that somebody may resent the comparison, but believe me, his ways are higher than our ways. And we can't always understand. We can't always know everything. I've heard some people say that, oh no, we can know anything God knows. Listen, if you knew 1/1,000,000th of what God knows, it would blow your brain open. He knows everything from beginning to end in all of eternity. He knows everything. He knows the thoughts. He knows our words before they're on our tongue. He knows everything. How much of that could you take? I'm just saying, you can't know everything God knows. And we just need to realize that sometimes there's a reason that we're not hearing. And it's a matter of faith and trust. I wouldn't be sharing this message tonight if we got our prayers answered every time, would I? Because it'd be so easy. We'd all know what to do every time. But this is the starting place, always. And if you don't get your answer, listen, in that moment that you pray, it still is the place that you receive strength so you can keep going. So the first thing is you always pray. Second is we go to the Word. Boy, this is pretty simple, pretty basic, but we need to be reminded of these things. Psalms 119 and 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It declares itself to be a lamp, to show us the way, to give direction. And I'm telling you that most of the decisions that we make in life are pretty well laid out for us in the Word of God. A lot of people say, "Oh, no, there's nothing in the Bible about my situation and about this situation." I'm just telling you, if you'll search the Scriptures, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can give light and understanding, and all of a sudden, your path becomes so clear through the Scripture. So you stay in the Word. Keep reading. Keep meditating. Keep going over it. You want direction? I'm telling you, the Word can light your path. A lot of the time, the answers are right there if we'll just search the Scripture. You know, besides reading it and studying it for ourselves, and I want to tell you that if you need direction in your life, you don't know what to do, first and foremost, you need to do that for yourself. But many times, God will use somebody to speak the word that we need. Many times in Scripture, He used a man of God to speak a word to somebody. Have you ever been sitting in church and you were thinking, "Man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that"? Anybody ever thought that? Have you ever been so-and-so? I don't know how it is that the time that we live in today where people have such a nonchalant attitude about church, like it don't matter. They don't realize that you might miss the word that God had for you. "Oh, well, the Lord knew I was going to be lazy and sleep in that day. He'd give it to me another day." I want to tell you that you won't find that kind of baloney in the Bible. It ain't in there. There's lots of people that missed what God had for them. Got real quiet on me. Well, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just telling you, though, that one of the ways that you can get a word from God, get direction for your life, many times is through a brother or sister in the Lord. They speak a word, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just lights it up, and you're like, "Oh." Now, it needs to be the word, and it needs to bear witness with your spirit. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, we're all going to go around prophesying to each other and giving people personal, you know, prophecy for, okay, you do this and you do that. Listen, it's got to bear witness with your spirit, and you, but when it happens, you know it was God. That's what I'm talking about. But oftentimes He speaks to us, gives us a word through somebody. But just living by God's word, I'm telling you, will solve most of our confusion. There's always going to be something that comes up that maybe the Scripture doesn't seem to address specifically. And that's one of the reasons that we have to begin with prayer. You always pray because it is the Holy Spirit that is able to cause the right verse to speak to us. But the principles of God's Word many times will guide you through a decision that you thought wasn't even addressed, and yet the principles will guide you through. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, "The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." I want you to notice that it divides between the soul and spirit. A lot of people today are so ignorant of the things of God and the Scripture, they think the soul and the spirit are the same thing. The Word of God divides between soul and spirit. The spirit is that part of you that is born of God. The soul is something that every living person has a soul. Even before they're born again, they have a soul. It is your mind, will, and emotions. And the Word of God will show you the difference between what is of your mind, will, and emotion and what is of the spirit. And here's why that's important in making a decision and knowing what to do. Because a lot of the time, people allow their feelings and their thoughts to guide their life instead of allowing the spirit to direct them. And it'll get you in trouble. The Word of God will help you to know the difference. The Word of God never contradicts the Spirit. I've heard people say things like, well, God wants me to be happy, and this makes me happy, so that must be what He wants. Pop theology. Being led of your feelings. On some level, you can construe that God wants us to be happy. I'm going to go there. On some level, I do believe that God wants us to be happy. But I got to tell you, they're disregarding a whole lot of scripture when that's the basis for decisions. Because your happiness isn't at the top of the priority list. I'm just telling you. There's a whole lot of things that come before, well, this makes me happy. I'm preaching good right now. I know it's a little tough road to hoe, but I'm just telling you, you know, it's like the guy that came to me one day and after service, he wanted me to pray that his girlfriend's husband would understand that they want to be together. That ain't how I prayed. I'm just telling you. And this whole thing about, well, that don't be led of your feelings. It's amazing. The world does that, but we ought to know better. The Word of God will help you discern. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will help you know what is right. You know, when your feelings, a lot of times your feelings confuse and cloud things up. But the Word of God will help you see through that. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the Word of God knows it. The Word of God discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you don't know what to do, it's real important that you stay in the Word. And if we just prayed and stay in the Word, most of the time we're going to know what to do. But it's not always that simple, is it? Sometimes we just have to trust Him. This is number three, trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, several principles here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. When you've done what you know to do, you trust Him. When you don't understand, trust Him. When you just want to ask why, trust Him. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm telling you, he's trustworthy. Romans 8, 28 says, we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Now, some people say, oh, well, you know, how that promise can't be right. How can God work this for good? I don't know, but he's God. And with God, all things are possible. And he just can. It's amazing how God, many times, will take what was done to us for harm and He turns it around for good. It's amazing how God can do that. Sometimes even our mistakes down the road somehow, instead of it bringing eternal destruction, somehow God uses it for good later to help somebody else. It's amazing what God can do, but you just have to trust Him in it's so important when we don't know what to do and we're not hearing clear direction, we got to trust. And I think that even plays a part in us being able to hear. If we don't really trust him, it makes it hard for us to hear and receive the direction that he's trying to give us. Fourth, he said, lean not to your own understanding. Now, I want to say, first of all, that God's way is not always illogical like some people portray. I mean, some people act like that, you know, God never does things in a logical way. No, that's just not true. But there are times when we can't lean on our own understanding. I mean, there are things that we don't understand. There's things that we don't know. I remember one time when I was going to leave pastoring a church and go back in youth ministry, and I had sent out some resumes, and there were three good churches that wanted us to come, and we prayed about it, but I didn't really get any clear direction, and so we listed out the pros and cons of each one. That's what you call leaning on your understanding. And I'll just tell you the brief version of that is that it was a very difficult season in our life. Hard. Looking back, God brought some good out of it. But man, it was a hard place to walk through. And you got to learn not to lean on your own understanding. You don't turn your brain off, but we just can't go by the way things look to us. You know, you're not always going to know all the ins and outs, and you can't always see the end. You just got to know your next step and what God wants you to do next. He knows the beginning and the end, so you don't lean on your understanding. But instead, number five is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. To acknowledge all your ways really comes down to this, to fear the Lord. It is doing right in his sight. It is to honor him and glorify him in the way that we live our lives. You know, when you're confused and you just feel like you're at the end of your rope, sometimes you're going to be tempted to cheat, to cut corners. Let's just say you're not being treated right at work. You know what the common thing is when somebody feels like they're not being treated right at work? Well, they don't work as hard, at the very least. Not being treated right, maybe they start bad-mouthing their employer, gossiping. But at the very least, I'm telling you, it's epidemic. The people don't feel like they're paid enough or compensated, or maybe they feel like they've been talked too harshly, and so they back off of their work and their performance and the job that they do. I want to tell you something. Pleasing the Lord. And you see, you might be praying about, well, does God, you know, does God want to move me? I'm praying the Lord will show me a new job. I'm going to get out of this place because they're not treating me right. Well, let me tell you something. What you need to do is acknowledge him in all your ways. And this is how you do that. Whatever you do as unto the Lord. You do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You don't work for those men as like men pleasers with eye service. But instead, you work at that job like you're doing it for God. Whether they treat you right or not. You see, that's acknowledging the Lord in all your ways. You see, let me just put it this way. It is always right. You want to know what the Lord wants you to do? It is always right to do right. And so this is the way of the world. Well, they did wrong, so I'm going to do wrong. No, you do right. You acknowledge the Lord in the way that you live, in the way that you do. And I'm telling you, here's the promise, he says, he'll direct our paths. To acknowledge him in all your ways. Listen, it's to do his will. in all your ways. Sometimes we want the Lord's will in a certain area of life. You know, Lord, is this the one? I'm just praying, God, is this the one? I need to know, is this the one? Lord, is this the one? But in these other areas of life, there's disobedience. You know what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. God, please just tell me, this is the thing I need to know. And yet there are things in the Scripture that He showed you in black and white. He's laid it out for you, and you're not doing it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Not just in some, not just in the area where you want direction. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. What a great promise. The promise to direct your paths. See, you may not be able to see down the path very far, but He'll direct you. Many times it's like walking in the dark with a lantern. You just can see the next step or so, but you keep going. And the truth is that sometimes it's almost like going with a blindfold. You ever felt like that? You didn't have a clue how this was going to work, but you were just trusting God. I got a verse for that, you know. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Is there somebody that you would trust to put on a blindfold and let them direct you just for a game? Well, I'm telling you, in this life, you can trust the Lord to direct your path, even when you have no idea how this is going to work. 6. Be still. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. There's a lot of people. Please hear this. There's a lot of people that need to obey God and take action. There's a lot of people that think they're waiting on God and God's waiting on them to do what He told them to do. I'm just saying. But there are times when we don't have clear direction that we just need to be still and know that He's God. We just need to wait on Him. Don't be afraid to wait on God. Let Him move. You know, when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt and they got to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army pursued them and had them cornered at the Red Sea. There was no way out. And the answer, the direction that God gave them was not turn and fight. The answer was not everybody run for your lives. No, the answer was to stand still. It's Exodus 14:13, and Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." And just the next couple of verses, the Lord then tells them, after the sea parts, the Lord tells them, go forward. But first, they had to not panic. And this is real important, because I tell you, the enemy will get you to make a foolish choice if he can get you to panic. Don't panic. Don't ever make a decision out of panic. In fact, when you feel panic, many times that's the exact time that it's one of those times that you need to be still and pray and wait until God gives you direction. Now, then, when He does, when He says go forward, you need to be ready to go forward and take action. But don't allow panic to move you. Instead, that's when you need to be still. I remember when we were for years trying to choose a builder to build this building. And I've heard and known of so many horror stories where a building was supposed to cost $4 million and it ended up costing $7 million. And, you know, I knew that, well, I guess God is big enough to take care of that, but I knew we didn't need to be in that kind of situation. And there just, you know, so many bad things happen. And don't think that because a church is a church that, you know, everything, you know, that builders and everybody's just going to do them right. I'm telling you, many times the exact opposite happens because they think they can get away with stuff with a church. And you know what? We talk to so many builders. And when I say we talk to them, I don't mean we had a 15-minute phone conversation. I mean, there were so many builders that I met with and spent hours with and just going over stuff and over and over. But, you know, for years, several years there, I could never get at peace. And we waited, and it was hard, especially when people were talking and saying, when are we going to build? When are we going to do something? But here's the point. You see, you need to be still until you have a peace. Until you know you've gotten direction. Sometimes you just need to be still. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I'm telling you, the peace of God is one of the ways that we know what God wants us to do in making a decision. So sometimes we just need to wait on God and let God make the next move. Let Him speak to us. Give Him time. And don't be in a hurry. Just be ready to go when He says go. And last, seventh, keep doing what you know to do. This is really important because a lot of people don't. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, do the things that you know to do. Keep doing those things. Back to what Paul said. He said, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. See, he didn't give up. They just kept going. Don't despair. See, when people despair, they give up. Keep doing what you know. And when you don't know what to do, I'm telling you, it can be discouraging. It can be disillusioning. It can even make you feel depressed, make you want to give up. Sometimes when you have a big decision and you don't know what to do, it's hard. That I'm telling you, you need to remember who it is that you serve, that He is an almighty God, that He loves us, that He's faithful, and that He will keep His promises to us. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. So you don't ever need to be in despair. Don't ever get to that place where you allow yourself to give up. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Now, I just want to give you an example, and this could be applied in a thousand different ways, but one of the ways that's, I guess, close to home for me since I'm a minister, I have known a lot of people that wanted to be in full-time ministry, and a lot of people that maybe they didn't express it as full-time ministry, but they really wanted to do a lot more for God, and they were wanting direction. They're wanting that open door, and they're wanting God to show them. But let me tell you what happened. They gave up. Somewhere along the way, they stopped doing good. They got weary. They were in despair. And a lot of them don't even go to church anymore. That's the enemy. So when I say it's important to keep doing what you know to do, it's a big deal. Because the enemy will try to get you discouraged. He'll try to get you down and out. He'll try to get you to give up on the simple things that you know that you're supposed to do all of the time. See, sometimes you just keep going, doing what you know to do. Listen. You keep going to church. It's one of the craziest things that people think, well, I'm going through a hard time, well, I'm just not going to go to church. What? That's the time you need to be in church the most. You keep going. You keep praying. You stay in the Word. You keep speaking the Word and meditating and doing it. You keep believing. You keep loving people. You keep serving. You keep giving. You keep growing in the Lord. You keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you know to do until God gives you that direction, and it'll come. That's what I had for you tonight. Let's stand and pray. Father, I just thank you that you always know what we need to do. And Father, I just pray that in our hearts and lives, more than anything, Lord, that we would trust you and always look to you and allow you to lead and guide us as our shepherd. You are so trustworthy, Lord, and so faithful. You have never let us down. And Father, I just pray especially for those that are facing big decisions. Maybe they're confused about some things. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would comfort them tonight and that they would find, Lord, that peace, that stillness on the inside to be able to rest in you and know that you will show the way. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Father. Amen. Amen. So we dismiss tonight. If you need special prayer, myself or others would be glad to pray with you. If you want somebody to just believe with you for direction tonight or some other prayer request, we'd be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you. Have a good night.